So, like many kids and like many of us, I think, my children like to eat cereal for breakfast, which isn't a surprise, and as far as they're concerned, the more sugar in the cereal, the better. I won't tell you what I did to them this week. I will. They wanted a snack, Count Dracula things. They were chocolate, and it has little marshmallow things, and I picked all the marshmallows out and ate them. Anyhow, they like to eat their cereal dry, which is why I was able to do that. And they have a glass of milk on the side. Now, the boys are a little competitive, as you might imagine, and nothing makes me laugh a little bit more than hearing them complain that one brother got more cereal than the other brother. Makes me laugh. So, and it's usually Logan. Dad, Ethan got more cereal than me. And his complaint seems to be that it was unfair that, of course, his brother got more cereal than him. You know, I mean, imagine the injustice. And so I pick up the box of cereal and I give it a little shake and I assure Logan that there is more cereal should he require it. Now, Barbara Brown Taylor describes our parable this morning, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, like the cod liver oil that mom used to give to the kids. You know it's good for you. You trust the person who's giving it to you, but it's still a bitter pill to swallow. That's Logan's injustice with the cereal. I don't have it right now. You see, by the time most of us are 3 or 4 years old, we have developed a very good sense of what is right and fair and just, and what is not right, unfair, and unjust. We know what's right, and we know what is wrong. And as we move through life, often we just want our fair share. We want what we believe we are due. When we see others who are successful, well, then we say, well, what about me? When's it going to be my turn? The parable of the workers in the vineyard bothers us. It disturbs our notions of justice and fairness. And we look at those who were hired last and we ask ourselves, why? Why did they get paid the same as the others? Shouldn't each person be paid according to the actual work that they did? I know that if I was working, picking grapes all day, I would be a little upset that someone who only did an hour worth of work got paid the same as me. It just wouldn't be fair. And perhaps you feel the same as me. I mean, hands up if you read this parable and you don't feel just a little bit uneasy. You can be honest. Does this parable bother you with its seemingly lack of justice? Yeah, I think a lot of us read this parable and feel that way. We scream at the injustice of it all. I mean, when I read this parable, I sometimes say to Jesus, Lord, this just doesn't make sense. There's a part of me that sees the unfairness of it all, and I get frustrated. A part of me asks, Lord, when will it be my turn? When do I get to get ahead? I mean, it's a fair question, isn't it? It's also a fairly dangerous question, I think. There is I'll call it a brand of Christianity that says if you give to God, that God will reward you and will make you successful. And it's a very appealing message that is also damaging and has very little support in Scripture. Do I believe that God wants the best for you and for me? Yeah. But God isn't just concerned about you and me. God's concerned about everyone. And regrettably, in Western society, we have dangers and perhaps even gross expectations of what it means to be successful. And that might be part of our problem. These notions of success, they feed into our understanding of fairness and justice. And they are reinforced by the individualistic aspect of the culture in which we are a part of. A culture that looks to the individual first and then looks to everyone else. So let's dig in a little deeper at this parable and figure out what is going on here. Now first we should note that Jesus sets us up right at the very beginning. The first thing he says is that this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And that should tell us immediately that this parable is going to make us uncomfortable. And it's going to challenge our beliefs about the existing world order. And so the owner of this vineyard, he goes out into the marketplace and he hires some day laborers. And he offers them a silver piece, or other translations will translate it as a denarius, for a day's work. Now, a denarius would have been enough money for one person to live on. So this isn't going to support a family system. It would not have provided enough money for a wife and children. So these day laborers, initially what we're finding out is that it's highlighting that aspect of daily bread that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. It's literally, they're getting enough for their daily bread. And so these workers, they head off to the vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard, he goes back at 9, at noon, and 3 o'clock. And each time he finds more workers who agree to go and work. They agree to work for a fair wage. Those other instances, it's a fair wage that is offered. There's no speak of an actual amount. He offers to pay them what is right. And finally, at the end of the day, the owner goes back to the marketplace and there are still more workers. And when the owner inquires why they are standing around idly, they reply, "Well, no one hired us." So he says, go and work in my vineyard. And so they go. And with this final group, there is no mention of money or payment or a fair wage at all. They simply are asked to go, and they go. And at the end of the day, the owner sets out to pay those who've worked for them, and he begins by paying those who started at 5 o'clock. And he pays them the silver coin or the denarius, and then he proceeds to pay everyone else the exact same wage. And those who began work early in the morning, well, they're shocked, and they're upset. And they call the owner out on it, on the unfairness of it all. Why did we earn the same as them? Didn't we work all day? To which the owner responds, "Did you not agree to work for that silver coin? Who are you to tell me what to do with my money? Are you envious of my generosity?" And this is really where it breaks down for us, doesn't it? Our Protestant work ethic tells us that things aren't right here in this parable. And if we're honest with ourselves, we admit that we don't like this parable. We don't know what's going on. We disagree with what Jesus is saying because it just doesn't make any sense. And of course, that's part of the point. We hear Jesus say one thing, and we miss the other thing that he is saying. And of course, we aren't the only ones. Just think of how many parables begin with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." We're going to be going through a bunch of them in the upcoming weeks. Jesus, it seems, was trying to get a point across to the disciples, to the early Christians, and to us today. When we look at ourselves as Christians, as members of this congregation, I think often we assess our worth by the work that we do. We sometimes compare ourselves to others, wondering how we could do more or why others do so little. And we want to be good disciples, and so we pressure ourselves to do more, to try harder. It's almost as if we are trying to earn our way into heaven. Now, I'm going to preface things here. Don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop being involved in the work and the mission of the church, of the congregation here at St. Andrews. This is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is stop comparing yourself to everyone else. The truth is, we dislike the parable, as we've discussed, because we're turned off by the unfairness that we find in it. How those who came last get equal treatment to those who came first. And we are upset by this because for some reason, when we read this parable, we associate ourselves with that first batch of workers who were hired in the morning. Hands up if when you read this, and at the end, you associated yourself with the first group of workers. Yeah, right? We all, when we get to that point, we think, we're that first group. It's not fair. When I read the parable, that's what I did. I was the first group of workers. And that self-identification that I make when I read this parable, it doesn't even occur until that point in the story. It doesn't even occur until the payment comes. That's when I make that identification and I say, it's not fair. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what makes us think that we are first? Why do we self-identify that way? And of course, what's the landowner's response to that sense of unfairness? Well, the landowner, he says tough. Tough luck. The landowner says tough because we're not talking about the value system of this world. We are talking about the value system of the kingdom of heaven. And what is startling is that through 2,000 years of Christendom, 2,000 years of this story being told, that the value system of the world has held up. If we are here to work for the kingdom, to usher in the kingdom of heaven, why do we still hold on to that innate judgment on fairness? Why do we oppose God's justice and stick to the justice systems that were evident in the world and have carried through? We look for equity, and God provides generosity. This parable is intended to shatter our perceptions on fairness. It is not told to enforce our attitudes about right and wrong. Rather, it is intended to demonstrate the grace of God that will be fulfilled with the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is really talking about a new world order, a radical revision of our priorities, and it seems to me that 2,000 years later, we are still trying to figure that out. We need to let go of our individualism to recognize and realize that it is not all about us. Not about you, not about me. There's a television commercial that used to run on TV. It's for Lay's potato chips, where there's one person eating that bag of chips in the middle of nowhere, and the narrator or whoever comes up to him and says, "Can I have a chip?" To which the individual replies, "Well, if I share with you, I have to share with everyone." And of course, there's no one else there. Now guess what? God is that person sitting there with that bag of potato chips, and God does want to share with everyone. God's grace is abundant. God wants to share. God wants everyone to experience the outpouring of grace that we receive through Jesus Christ. Friends, God doesn't make contracts with us. God made a covenant with us. A covenant that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God fulfills the promise found in that covenant, which is grace abundant. Grace for all people, in all times, and in all places. It doesn't matter when you come to the table. God's grace is there waiting for you. The truth is, we aren't the special ones. And when we get caught up on the issue of justice and fairness based on our own standards, we really miss the point. Friends, the point is this. We need to stop figuring out who is first among us And we need to join God in the marketplace. Amen.